Well, good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. Got your Bibles. Turn with us to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We'll be there in just a moment. And I appreciate everyone being back with us. Been a good day so far. We've had a good opportunity to honor our Lord, to praise Him, to study His Word, and try to continue that this evening. Brother Zach, I used to preach a lot in empty buildings when I first started preaching. I used to come down Saturday nights in these little country congregation buildings, and they were creepy. And when you're preaching in there, and it's all dark, and you hear a noise, you think, okay, let's shorten this sermon, get out of here. Some of you have been going to Smedley to preach. And when I first started preaching, even before I became a full-time preacher, I was going down to Smedley about every Sunday. And they used to have some pigs right beside the building there. And I'd get down there real early and preach to those pigs and preach to those pigs. And not much happened, but I tried my best. And so that's good. We just had a great gospel meeting last week with Dan Langford. Dan brought some wonderful, wonderful concepts, such as solitude and simplicity. And the idea of having that singular nature in mind. And gospel meetings really have two effects. The positive effects is it's great to hear a fresh voice, and they encourage us, and they remind us, and they build us up, and they help us. But from a preacher's perspective, and I know Jason's done this a lot, I've done this a lot, we go preach some other place, when it's all over, you wonder, well, back to normal. Did I do anything to help them? And you often wonder that. And sometimes after a gospel meeting, it's just like we shelve that away and we just go back to life. We kind of forget that. It was because of a gospel meeting last year that we started our connections, our Koinonia connections. And so Brother Langford said something last Sunday evening that really stuck with me. And so we're going to kind of begin a little series based upon something he said. He was talking about how fast the bamboo grows compared to how slow the oak tree goes. And one of the expressions he talked about was the idea of building and establishing deep roots. And that stuck with me. Deep roots. Deep faith in Jesus Christ. And so we want to begin by looking at some things along that line this evening that will help us. You know, when we talk about the idea of roots, sometimes it brings to our minds the idea of going back. You get somebody and maybe he was in the military and he bounced around from city to country much of his career. It gets a point in his life where he says, you know what, I want to put down some roots. I want to have a place I call home. Sometimes when grandma or grandpa passes away, they want to be buried back where they came from, back to their roots. We see that with the story of Joseph. When Joseph was about to die, he did not want to be buried in Egypt. He had lived in Egypt almost 90 years. I am certain he spoke the Egyptian language fluently. He was number two in the Egyptian government. He was even embalmed as Egyptians embalmed their dead. But he wanted to go back and be buried where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. Take me back to my roots. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful concept. When we think about that, there's some great biblical expressions of that. We think about Psalm chapter 1, how that great Psalms begins. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted. We were moving shrubs yesterday. Digging them out, transplanting them. I've done that all my life, but I think I met my match yesterday. I mean, by the end of the day, my neighbor was watching me as he's mowing. I kept thinking, stop your mower and help me, man, but he never did. I had three shovels, two saws, and I don't know what other apparatus I had just to get those big old roots out of the ground. A tree firmly planted. The apostle said in the book of Colossians, having been firmly rooted. There again is that concept and that establishment we talk about establishing deep roots within the Lord and how important that is. Now, when we think about a tree, it's very obvious what roots do. Number one, they provide stability. They hold that tree. Now, here's a common myth. A lot of people believe and have heard as tall as the tree is up, that's how far down the roots go. That's really not true. If you've got a 100-foot tree, the roots are not 100-foot down. Most roots are within about 6 feet. Some go a little deeper, and most of them spread out. And that gets to the second point, and they prevent erosion. They kind of intertwine with other tree roots, and they hold the soil together. And what they do is they produce substance for life. Down in the roots, if you've ever studied deep into the idea of trees, as I started off my college career, you understand that they have an epidermis, like our skin. They have cells, and they pull up from the ground moisture and nutrients, and that helps that tree to get what it should be. Now, this evening, I want to talk to you about establishing roots. I want to talk about our faith. Not in the congregation. I want you to hear me clearly on this. So a lot of people have strong roots in a certain church building. My parents started this church. I've had people say, we were charter members. That word's not even used in the Bible. And so there comes a time when economics or size, a congregation has to merge with another congregation. You're still in the kingdom of God. You're still Christians. You're still serving Jesus. All you're doing is changing zip codes. But sometimes people will fight that and fight that and fight that because my roots are in this place. Wrong. Your roots need to be in Jesus, not this place. So when we talk about establishing roots, we're not talking about in a person, in a place, in a location, but in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 17, Jesus put it this way. Then the disciples came to him privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And they talked about a demon before, and they couldn't cast that demon out. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For I say to you, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, and what a contrast. Your little faith, but the mustard seed was the smallest of the seeds. If you had that kind of faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. What Jesus was establishing there was this concept of having deep roots or deep faith. So let's talk about three aspects of this, beginning with. First of all, it's the aspect that it will not wither in hard times, bad news. It will not be shaken. You got your Bible open to Luke chapter 8. Appreciate John leading a song about the sower. Because Luke chapter 8 is about the sower. Look at verse 6 and then verse 13. Luke chapter 8, verse 6, verse 13. Verse 6 says, and other seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And when Jesus goes on a little bit later and gives the interpretation of this, he says in verse 13, and these on the rocky soil are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root. Do you see that? They believe for a while, in a time of temptation, they fall away. It is important for us not just to be believers, but to establish that deep, deep faith in Jesus. In Acts chapter 20, if you turn there with me, Acts chapter 20, Apostle Paul had been warned by the Holy Spirit, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be persecuted. In fact, the Holy Spirit told him, take off your belt and tie it around you, because that's what awaits you, he says. In verse 22 of Acts chapter 20, and now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await for me. Now verse 24, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course, and that the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. King James Version has a little phrase in there. It's not in most other translations. It says, I will not be moved. None of these things move me. It's been said before that every person has a price. Years ago, when we were living in Indianapolis, we had this insurance guy come by, trying to sell some insurance. He looked at this painting on the wall, said, man, I like that painting. Went back to talking about insurance. I like that painting. Went on, talked about the insurance. Kept talking about that painting. I said, sir, everything in this house is for sale if the price is right. Across from Augusta, golf course where the Masters are. There's a little house that was built in 1959, 1,900 square feet. As the golf course is expanding parking lots, even having goals of building another 18-hole golf course, the family there was offered millions of dollars to sell that house. The old man that lived there, he was 86 years old. He says, "I love golf, but my house is not for sale." He died. His widow's now in her 90s. Augusta keeps coming to them saying, "Let's buy your house. The house is not nearly worth the millions and millions that she's being offered." And she simply says, "I'm not for sale." What does Deep Root say? "I'm not for sale. Dangle this in front of me, Satan. Offer me this, the devil. I'm not for sale." In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, if you look in verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Apostle Paul there says, "Be steadfast, immovable." That's what deep roots do. They keep you from moving. Now back in the Gospel of Luke, if you will, Luke chapter 6, Jesus here in Luke chapter 6 tells a story of building a foundation, very similar to Matthew's account. But in Luke chapter 6, in verse 47, he says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears these words and acts upon them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood arose and the river burst against that house, it could not shake because it had been built well." He had dug deep. We're talking about deep roots. One of the things that deep roots are going to do is they're going to keep you from withering in hard times. A second thing that deep roots are going to do is they will help you continue to grow during the storms of life. During the storms of life. You ever seen a log like that? All those rings? Those are years. Start in the middle, that's when the tree began. You count up and figure out how old that tree is. There's something interesting about this. You see, over here is a rainy season. And you notice how large that gap is. That's how much that tree grew during the rainy season. Over here is a dry season. It didn't grow very much, did it? Over here, there was a fire. But you know something? It continued to grow, didn't it? So what happens when you have a dry season? You grow. What happens when you have a good season? You grow. You don't say, "Well, God, you know, I've had a lot going on in my life this year. I just can't grow." What deep roots teach you is you always grow no matter what happens in your life. You keep growing. And that's significance. It's more than surviving. It's growing and getting better in the Lord. And then the third thing it will do, it will keep Satan from attacking you and knocking you over. Over in the book of Ephesians, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, Apostle Paul was talking about the brethren being strong there. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 14 and verse 15. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. He says, "As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." When I heard this from somebody, I read this by somebody, over here I am, over here I am, over here I am. You ever have a picnic on a windy day and you put down those paper plates? And you go back to your basket to get the food, and all of a sudden the paper plates are gone? That's what he's talking about doctrinally here. These folks were not steady. They were not steadfast. Why? They did not have the deep roots that they should have. Over in the book of James, if you will, James chapter 1, this also ties in with our last point there. James chapter 1, he again talks about this establishment of great faith in God. James chapter 1. Verse 2 through 4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." Where does this faith producing endurance come about? It comes about during dry seasons, during fires, during trials, during attacks of Satan. Those deep roots keep you growing as you should be growing over and over again. Now, if you will, turn your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Here the apostle is amazed. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. He says, I am amazed. And we can just stop there. There's a lot of things in life that amaze us. I've been to circuses before and seen the guy put fire in his mouth. Man, that amazed me. Do not ask me to try that. I would never try that. I've seen people walk across a high wire. That's amazed me. I've seen airplanes fly upside down. That's amazing. I even jumped out of an airplane. That was beyond amazing. That was crazy up here. But there's a lot of things in life amaze us. Three times in the gospel, the Bible says Jesus marveled, which means wow. But this amazement is not good. Paul's shocked. I'm stunned. I am amazed, he says, that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we, that'd be the apostles, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have been preached to, let him be accursed. Three things jump out of that. Number one, I'm amazed that you moved. You are deserting God. You're deserting the gospel. What that means is you didn't have roots. If you had strong roots, that old tree would have stood there. It might have blown a little bit here and there, but it would have stayed. You moved. What keeps you from moving? Roots that are deep. I'm not only amazed that you moved, but I'm amazed that you made this exchange. You deserted Christ, the gospel of Christ, for another gospel. And that really means a perversion or a twisting, something that simply isn't true to that. And then thirdly, I'm amazed this happened so quickly. This didn't happen over generations. This happened right here to those very people that first heard the Apostle Paul. And he was amazed at that. Let's go to the Old Testament, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalms 137. Psalms 137 takes place, it's one of the last Psalms written. It takes place during the days of Babylon. Psalms 137. And here it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For our captives demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. You see what they did? They just hung the harps up. We're not in our native land anymore. We're just quit. Life isn't good right now. I just quit. I'm just giving up. And again, it points to that concept of having deep roots. You never know where life is going to take you. You never know what difficulties that may come before you. But through all of that, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, what a difference it will make to you. If you've got your Bible now, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Great example in the life of King David. 1 Samuel chapter 30. At this occasion, he's being chased all over the countryside by Saul. Things are not going well in his life. They've been out, and they finally make it back home. And when they make it back home, they realize, verse 3, it says, when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. I mean, we've been chased like a rabbit all over the countryside. Saul's trying to kill us. We finally get home, and our houses are burned. Our family's kidnapped. How can things get any worse? It says In verse 4, when David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept, there was no strength in them to weep. Verse 6, moreover, David is greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. That's a moral problem, isn't it? David, it's your fault. Had we stayed here, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But finish verse 6 with me. It says, they thought about stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I was in depression. Where were my brethren? I was sad. Where was the church? I was upset, and nobody was with me. When David turned to look to his brethren, his friends, his people had been with him, they had rocks in their hand. That's how we're going to handle this. David had some deep roots. He strengthened himself. There may come times in your life that you have to encourage yourself because no one else is going to be there. When you have those deep roots in Jesus, all the difference they make when you do that. One of our hymns that we sing is entitled, I Am Resolved. And in the fourth stanza of that hymn, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I am resolved. Deep roots. Now, let's talk about this. Why is it we don't have deep roots? A lot of us say, man, I wish I did. I've seen somebody bury their mate on a Friday, and Sunday morning, they're right there in the church, praising God. I've seen people who had the worst tragedies, and there they are. They didn't hang their hat on that nail. They didn't use that as an excuse. Deep, deep faith. Some of you have come from generations of Christians, and that understanding we stand with God has gone from generation to generation to generation. You do it not because it's your family tradition. You do it because the Bible teaches such things. Why don't we have this? I think, number one, we're convinced we never can. All the elders have it. They got deep faith. Preachers have it. But me? I never can. Probably one of the greatest Bible students I ever met was a guy by the name of Homer Haley. I was a sophomore in college when he came to Lafayette to preach. He was well in his 80s. He was writing a book on Revelation. The entire week was on the book Revelation. When he taught Bible class, you didn't even look up at him hardly. You just took notes after notes. He just knew the Bible. He never had a Bible in his class. He quoted and quoted and quoted. Somebody once said to him, Brother Haley, it would at least look good if you held a Bible up. So he held a Bible up and somebody raised his hand, Brother Haley, your Bible's upside down! Because he wasn't reading it. He knew it. Such incredible faith. And we look at that and say, I can never do that. I can never be that strong. I can never have that type of faith. And when we start telling us those things, we probably won't. And so as we continue this series on and on, we need to see that, first of all, God says you can. You can have that faith of a mustard seed. Telling that to a man who got scared when he's standing on water. Telling that to a man who says, I'll die with you, but then within hours, he was denying him three times. If your faith was like a mustard seed, you can have deep roots. Secondly, tied into this, sometimes we don't want the effort it takes. I mean, this is true of high school sports. This is true of college sports. This is true of professional sports. You see that Friday night, Saturday football game. You look at that quarterback and said, man, I'd love to be that quarterback. I would love to be out there. Stands are full. They're saying my name, and I'm throwing that football a mile. Oh, it'd be awesome. But in August, when you're sitting in the cool air conditioner, that guy's out there running and running and running and running. And when you're eating donut after donut after donut, he's not eating donut after donut after donut. He's in the weight room lifting and lifting and lifting. You see, there was a price he had to pay to be that way. And you and I can have deep roots in Jesus, but there's a price. And if you don't want to pay it, you're not going to have it. But it can happen. And as Dan said so well in the sermon, it's not going to be like that little bamboo. It's going to be like that oak tree. Those of you that's in your 20s and 30s, you don't know and don't see what you've seen when you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s. It takes life to show you those things. It takes years in that Bible to show you those things. It's been said before, the Bible that's fallen apart belongs to somebody whose life is not falling apart. And so why is it we don't have that deep faith? Well, I just went to Cliff Note Edition. Had a friend a while back recommended a book. It's about 500 pages. And I sighed and I said, I think I'll wait for the movie, you know? You know, because that's the way life is. You know, like, I don't want to go through that. It's too hard. But that's what we have to do. And then thirdly, I think why we don't have it is because we're happy where we're at. Life is good. Things are well. But what happens when my mate does die? What happens when my world collapses? What happens when the storms come, as Jesus said in Matthew 7? You see, as long as there's sunshine and health in my body, that's a good point. I'm happy where I'm at. I don't need deep faith. I'm getting along pretty good. But then old Satan comes along and pulls on that thing, and there's no roots. And up it comes. How many people do we know that no longer walk with Jesus? And the answer is, there was no deep faith. So, we go to this passage in Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. Here he says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned. That's where deep faith begins. What is it that I've been taught? Stay in those things. Stay in those lanes. And understand how important that is. And have become convinced of. I know this is right. Why? Not because mom and dad said so, not because my great-grandparents did this, not because I'm Church of Christ through and through. It has none of that to do with that. I am convinced because that's what God says. I stand where God stands. And then, who taught you? This last point is concerning to me because there's a lot of wiggly voices going on today. And you need to understand, who do I trust, who I listen to? Who has vested interest in me? The shepherds, the fellowship of this church, the people who you worship with, who love you so much. How important all those things are. And so that's the concept of beginning deep roots. Now, we've got several more things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, Lord willing. But this is what I want you to see. I want you to see how important it is that you have that deep, deep faith in Jesus. A faith that cannot be rocked. A faith that cannot be blown over. A faith that will be there through time because I know this is right. I want to end with a story. A man's name is Ira Sankley. He was a hymn writer. He wrote, Faith is a Victory, I Will Sing Their Wondrous Story, and the 90 and 9. And according to the story, this takes place in 1875. He was on a steamboat on the Delaware River. It's Christmas Eve, and several people there knew him as a preacher and especially as a songwriter and as a singer, and they asked him to sing a hymn, thinking since it's Christmas Eve, he's going to sing a Christmas song, but he sang another person's hymn, not even one of his own. He sang the hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. His rich baritone voice just echoed over that river valley. When he got done, a man came up to him and asked him, were you in the Civil War? And Sankley said, yes. I fought for the North. He said, about 1862, were you happen on to be on the picket line? The picket line was kind of like the guys who guarded the camps at night. And he said, well, yeah, I was on the picket line around 1862. He said, I thought so. He said, I fought for the Confederacy. And I saw you. The moon was shining on you, and I was in my shadows. And I raised my rifle, and I was going to shoot you. But you sang this very song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And I thought to myself, I can't shoot you while you're singing this song. So I waited. I waited till you finished the song. And you didn't just sing that song, you had such rich convictions about that song that I put my gun down. And I said, Lord, I cannot kill this man. Deep roots. You see that? Things can happen in your life you don't even know about. But because of your faith, your conviction, those at school, those at work, those in community, those in your family, they see this rich, rich, deep conviction in Jesus. And so that's where we're going to be going, Lord willing, the next few weeks. Hope this has been helpful for you. Right now, if you're thinking, you know what? I need to start on that. I kind of got shallow roots. The wind blows and I blow. Every time hard times come, I'm withering away. And I'm up and down and all around. I'm not steady in Jesus as God wants me to be. Let us help you. Let's get our Bibles open. Let's talk about these things. Let's pray together. Let's be in this together as God wants all of us to have this rich, incredible faith. If we can be of any help, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.